produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Love Your Making. This is Dr. V, your host today. Listen, I'm here with you every other Thursday here on Josie's Inspirational Network, and it is my love and delight to be with you whenever I can. If I'm speaking to you live or archived anywhere in the world, I just want to say welcome, and I invite you to pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you, Father, for being so good to us, so merciful. You're an awesome God. We love you so much. But it's nothing compared to how much you love us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for making us. Scripture says in 139, verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, your love makes us every day. As we speak to leaders on this broadcast, as we encourage them to know that you have an amazing future already planned for them, that every day you think of them and your thoughts toward them, they are of peace and not evil, to give them a hope and to give them a future, Father God. Thank you for the opportunity to do so, and thank you for your calling upon each of our lives. And as we go forth in this broadcast, we just ask you really to be the one who imparts wisdom to all of us. And we have open hearts and open spirits and open minds to receive that wisdom now. We are going to love our making because we know that you're pouring into us, Father. So thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, last time we were together, it seems like it was forever. But last time we were together and we spoke, we were talking about the power of hope. I enjoyed that teaching. Actually, I listened to it before I came on today. And just to refresh myself in it, I thought I would go back to it and expound on it more. But since the time we've been together, I've been asking God, what would you have me to share? And today he's leading me in a different direction. So I want you to go with me, okay? Listen, we've all had in our lives, hopefully, mentors, people who strongly inspired us and encouraged us and taught us and directed us and guided us, all those things that a mentor does. And we thank God for that. I often say every Mary needs a Elizabeth, and every Timothy needs a Paul, and Well, Dr. V, I've had several mentors in my life. There's the Brenda Wrights. There's the Pastor Sterling Lands. There's the Apostle P.D. Mason. And there is Mother Lily Lipscomb. I could just go on and on. God has blessed me with great mentors. One of my mentors that I've never met, but through the years, since I was a young adult, he's always been, just from a distance, he's always encouraged me, reading his books, listening to some of his, cassette tapes, you know, that dates you, right? But I'm speaking of today, Zig Ziglar. You might know him, you might not know him. He was an awesome Christian man, a businessman, but he taught from so many people all over the world for many, many years, and he encouraged us to do business right and from a Christian perspective. And those of you who don't know me, I am a collector of what I call classic self-help and inspirational books and Bibles. I collect Bibles as well. But I had on my shelf, and I pulled it off, this book written, I don't know when it was written. Let me check the timing on it. It was actually published in 1970. It has some copyright since 1960, but copyrighted 2009 again. And I think the book was published actually in 1971. We'll just go there, okay? But the book is called The 1 Year Daily Insights with Zig Ziglar and Dr. Ike Reinhart. I hope I'm not messing up his name. But anyway, I had that book on my shelf, and the Spirit led me to pick it up. I didn't read it. I got it because it was it was written by Zig Ziglar, and he's one of my mentors, and I didn't have that book of his, and so I picked it up, and I began to read it, and I have made a commitment that I am going to read this book this year. This time, so, you know, if it takes me this time next summer, I'm going to finish this book, and I'm going to read it with you. So I want you to bear with me because this is some good stuff up in here. We're going to just start from the very beginning. And I'm going to share with you his first three devotionals. I will call it that. And we're just going to talk about it because I just believe that it's going to bless us as leaders. And it's going to encourage us to love our making. Okay? You with me? Let's get started. The first devotion is called One Thing, and this is what he starts out with. His inspirational scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, and it reads like this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, that's Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Then he goes on to write, Paul was the greatest leader in the history of the church, but he wasn't cocky. He knew he was still a work in progress. Paul's days were filled with starting churches, managing leaders, and taking the gospel to everyone in the known world, but he reduced his job description to one thing. We'd interpret his comments in management terms as a rigorous commitment to a singular objective that has two parts, not dwelling on the past, but reaching ahead to achieve the vision of the future. The past can bog us down in two distinctively different ways. Some of us feel ashamed by failures in our personal lives or in our business. Are you acquainted with that feeling? I certainly am. We also feel ashamed in our minds and are haunted by those memories. Every decision we make is colored by our grief and the fear that we'll make the same mistake again. Others of us, though, live in past glories. We enjoyed stunning success, but instead of using our gains as a foundation for future growth, we kept reliving those memories. Living in the past, whether failed or successful, takes our lives out of focus. Paul says, forget it. Forget the past and move on. Paul was serious. In which direction should we move? That's the question. We should reach forward to fulfill the vision God has for us. Paul encourages us to uncover and embrace a God-sized cause, one that has a positive impact on people and expand his kingdom. We can have causes like that at work. We can have causes like that in our neighborhoods, in our homes, as well as the church. As you begin, focus on Paul's one thing. He asks this question, what are some past failures or successes you need to leave behind? Is there a God-sized cause that has gripped your heart? Good question. The day our memories become longer than our dreams is the day our soul begins to shrink. This is a quote by Ike Reinhardt. Zig says this, discipline yourself to do the things you need to do when you need to do them. And the day will come when you will be able to do the things you want to do when you want to do them. That's Zig. And that's his very first devotional in this book, One Thing. And I began to think on that myself because I think that I feel compelled to continue to do the one thing well. And that is to encourage you to know just how much God loves you. If I thought about branding, and I have thought about branding my ministry, it is, I was born to encourage you to know just how much God loves you. And that love that He has for you is so great that if you really, really, really got a handle on it and received it and believed it and began to live according to that truth, that you would want to love deeply yourself, others. That you, first of all, you want to love Him back. And then you want to love yourself. And then you want to love others to the utmost. Amen? So that I have been so focused in that area that some people who've known me for 10, 20, 30 years, in the last maybe 5 years, they begin to call me the love warrior. And specifically, Dr. Gales Hayes, she called me that. She said, you just love. You just have that thing, Dr. V. You just love. So you're really a love warrior. And so when I heard her say that, it resonated in my spirit. And I said, yes, I am. I am a love warrior. That is my one thing. So as Zig encouraged us, what is that one thing? As Paul encouraged us in his ministry, what is that one thing that you're called to do? And that you do it passionately. And you do it not by living in what you've already done, but by getting excited about what you're going to do. In other words, leaving those things that are behind, you're pressing toward the mark of that higher calling. You know, Jesus said when He left here, He says, greater things will you do. Why? Because I go to the Father. You know, that He expected us to do great exploits after He came. And after He, you know, bled and died for us on the cross, after He did the finished work of the cross of reconciling us back to the Father and giving us eternal life and canceling out the penalty of sin in our lives of death, but giving us eternity and connecting us back with the Father for all times. And we simply have to go through Him to do it. So, but I'm thinking that Jesus had that one thing, and we would hear Him say, I come to do the will of Him who sent me. My meat is to do His will. I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I hear the Father do. But when we look at His earthly ministry over those 3 years, how at one time you see Him raising one dead person, and then you see Him feeding 5,000 and more, and with two little fish and five loaves of bread, and you know, His initial miracle was the turning the water into wine. He did all of these amazing things, but there was increase in His ministry. He didn't look back, but only to say, you know, if somebody asks you what I'm doing, tell them that the blind is seeing and the lame is walking. And you know, so He referenced the past just to say, this is what has happened, but He didn't dwell on it. He kept going. He kept moving forward because He knew that ultimately the cross was where He had to go. The resurrection was what He had to be about as well too. And now He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's still yet working. He's still not looking behind, but he's still on his job, as it were. Amen. And so that was the first one I wanted to share with you in Zig's book. And then the second devotional, oh my God, you're going to love this because it builds on it. It's called Write It Down. It comes from Habakkuk 2:2-3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for a appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. He goes on to write, some of us wander from one thing to another our whole lives. We're capable of so much more, but we never clarified our purpose in life. An out-of-focus purpose can't inspire us, but a crystal clear lens on God's purpose for us rivets our attention and gives us energy to keep going until we reach our goals. While the prophet Habakkuk was in prayer, God told him to write down the vision he was given him. In that day, scribes needed a stylus to etch words into blocks of clay. It took work, so they thought carefully about what they wanted to write in order to avoid wasting time and tablets. We need to write our vision down in clear, compelling language so that it can grip our hearts. A clearly written vision statement frees us from confusion so that we can run instead of wander, stumble, or go backwards. A clear vision overcomes inertia and produces the inspiration to run towards our goals. But the fulfillment of our vision, God tells the prophet, is in his timing, not ours. Seldom does anyone move in a straight line from the conception of a dream to its fulfillment. For more often, we experience ups and downs, delays and disappointments. These, though, won't stop us if we keep our eyes on our purpose and the one who has given it to us. Write it down. He asked these two questions. Do you have a clear vision, a compelling vision statement? What would it or does it mean to you to have one? Those are good questions. He quotes Woodrow Wilson when he says this, we grow by dreams. All big men are big dreamers. Some of us let dreams die, but others nourish and protect them, nurse them through bad days to the sunshine and light, which always comes. Woodrow Wilson. You know, I was really inspired by this second devotional because when Zig began to talk about write it down, and when he began to talk about having a clear purpose, you know, I've written early on in ministry, and I've been in ministry for 33 plus years. And most of my board members over the years will say, Dr. V, you were so paper intensive. You wrote so much. I still find papers that you have written us years ago. But I look back on them now, and I'm grateful that I kept all of these papers because I can see just how far God has brought us. And so I'm grateful for that. I've had some of my members over the years to call and say, you know what, Dr. V, what they're talking about today, you were telling us 5 years ago. You had a very clear vision of the future. And so now we feel like we are, even though we are experiencing it, that you have already, through your ministry, given us a glimpse of what is to come. And so I'm grateful for that. And thank you for writing it down so we can look back on it. We can see the dates. We can see that, well, in 1995, Dr. V told us this. Well, it's 2002, and it's just now coming to pass. It seemed like the whole world has caught up with what she already introduced to us. And I'm grateful for those kind of comments. But I also grateful that God gave me the spirit to write the vision, to make it plain. It was always our vision of Sister Care, my ministry, to say that we are called to provoke one another to love and to good works. And so when I look back on the 33 years, just before I was called a love warrior, I started out, you know, in the spirit of love. I started out in the spirit of intent and intensity and integrity and didn't know it. Years later, as God really, really shaped it, but it was from the writing it down and making it plain. Listen, we have 6 more minutes. I think we have just enough time for me to do this third one. Maybe each time I'll be able to do 3 devotionals and we will get through this book in short record. I'm so glad you're joining with me, okay? The next one is building on the first 2. It's called God's Dreams for Our Lives. Acts 16:19 says, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, this has been one of my favorite scriptures over the years. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision as God gave it to me and as I wrote it down. And as we have in the last year celebrated 30-plus years in the Sister Care ministry, I am grateful that as I'm reading this now in Zig's book, that I can say I've actually lived it out. He goes on to write, many people have dreams of wealth, popularity, power, and ease, but there's another kind of dream that's even more powerful and far more fulfilling, finding and following God's dream for our lives. When the Apostle Paul stood before the king to explain why he had followed his path, he would have described the pros and cons of each decision along the way. But pros and cons didn't determine Paul's direction. Paul had a God-given vision, and he aligned his life to fulfill it. That was his defense before the king. A compelling dream will generate the obedience to push past our fears. Let me read that again because it is so powerful. A compelling dream will generate the obedience to push past our fears. All pursuits promise to fill our lives with meaning, but only God can transform us, fill us, challenge us, and give our lives ultimate purpose. God gave his all, and he demands our all. And perhaps the most loved devotional book in the English language, Oswald Chambers wrote this, the only way to be obedient to the heavenly vision is to give our utmost for his highest. I don't know about you, but I've had that journal in my bookshelf for years, and I love that journal by Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers, I repeat, says this, the only way to be obedient to the heavenly vision is to give our utmost for his highest, our best for his glory. This can be accomplished only when we make a determination to continually remember God's vision. The paradox of the Christian life is that when we live unreservedly for God, we find true fulfillment ourselves. Don't be disobedient to the dream God has given you. 2 more questions, Zig asks. How clear is God's dream for your life right now? Is any fear holding you back from accomplishing this dream? If so, what is it and how will you push past it? And ending this devotional, he quotes William Carey by saying, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Can I tell you, I was supercharged by the time I got to God's dreams for our lives. Because I would tell you for sure, without a doubt, you can quote Dr. V when she says this, I didn't have a dream to even begin to compare to the God-given dream that God had given me. I just didn't. You know, yes, maybe I dreamed of having a wonderful mansion one day with spiral staircase. And I often think about the baby grand piano that I'm going to have in my house. And I still dream about that. But for what God has given me to do and how he's given me to do it with intent, intensity, and integrity, the dream that God has given me. First of all, I can't even fulfill the dream without his help. I just can't do it. Listen, today what we've done is we've gone over 3 of the most challenging, I believe, readings from Zig Ziglar's book. He talked about Paul and the one thing, this one thing I do, leaving those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of a high calling. And then I want to write the vision and I want to make it plain. And lastly, I want to fulfill God's dream for me. Listen, next time it's going to be even more fantastic. I'm going to end today, but I want you to know that I have enjoyed sharing this book with you, and I want to encourage you to journey it with me. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. I want you to love your making today. And one way to do that is to embrace all that God has for you. And by embracing all that God has for us, we will therein fulfill the great call on our life, the vision, the dream that God has for us. We will look back, like Paul said, and this one thing I do. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this broadcast today. Thank you for those leaders that are listening. Thank you, Lord God, that somewhere in the message, in one or three of these devotionals by Zig, that they have listened deeply and heard and just been re-inspired to go ahead and just make that one thing and make it clear, write it, make it clear, and also just desire always that their dream be your dream. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for us and what you always do for us. And Father, until we are able to be in complete oneness with you by being totally obedient to your will and your way, we ask you to continue to work on us, shape us, and make us for your glory. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are located in the world. This is your host, Benita Duries, here on Josie's Inspiration Network. I hope everyone had a fabulous day. If you had any negativity, I hope that when you wake up tomorrow that you can start the day and have such a moving and positive energy that flows through your body to allow you to have that perfect day come tomorrow if you haven't had a good day today. Again, my name is Benita Duries, and I am here. We're going to talk about I'm not enough. You know, a lot of people feel like they're just not enough. And when you have that thought or that mind thought in your head that you're not enough, then you have a sense of living in the same cycle. And living in the same cycle is what I mean is, you know, growing up as a child, you got to think when you were a child, you were born this perfect baby. You didn't know anything. You just was, you know, hee-hee-ha-ha, Googles, you know, making pretty smiley faces. Everybody love you. You're this pretty baby. And, you know, you were just perfect and so innocent. But as you grew up throughout your childhood, you started becoming aware of your environmental situation. And some of us grew up situations, some of us grew up in great family environments, but some of us just did not have that experience of living in a family where everything was great or everything was good. They didn't have that experience of having a loving family. They didn't have that experience of going on family trips. They didn't have the experience of mom or dad actually talking to each other instead of yelling and screaming. So, you know, when we're younger, we get caught up into the emotions and the dynamics of what is going on in our family. And as a child, you are very impressionable. So you kind of absorb any and everything that is around you. And so if you're younger, you know, you may have had a family who mom and dad, or if you had a single mom or a single parent or raising you, maybe they worked so much that they didn't have enough time to spend with you, and you spent time over at your aunt and uncle's houses, and maybe they did a lot of drugs, you know, and that's what you became accustomed to. And you just knew, okay, this is what my family do, so this is probably what life is about. But in reality, you're not, you know, you're just absorbing what you're seeing in your family dynamics, you know. And sometimes it's kind of hard to break that cycle of what you grew up with. A lot of families I know on my father's side of the family, a lot of them grew up, you know, just fighting with each other and yelling and screaming with each other or fighting the neighbors, or, you know, it was just a lot of chaos. But I had my mom's side of the family where it was just peaceful, bliss. Everybody loved everybody. So I came from two different worlds. But as I grew up, I realized, like, okay, that's not normal, and I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I should be paying more closer to what my mom's side of the family was doing. And I ran into so many different families growing up where they their parents were alcoholics, and they pretty much did what they wanted to do because their parents wasn't really involved in their life. And at some point, you know, they always think, or your child, you know, as a child, you think, okay, maybe I'm the cause of my parents doing drugs. Maybe I'm the cause of my parents being alcoholics. Maybe I'm the problem that my parents is fighting each other every other night. Maybe I'm the problem that my parents are not getting along and they're living in separate houses, or they're divorced now. And, you know, a child starts to think at that time everything is because of them, not realizing that those are adult situations. And the child, all they want to do as you're growing up, you just want to be that perfect kid. Okay, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get good grades, and everything's going to be fine. Or I'm going to go to school on time every day, I'm going to listen to the teacher, I'm not going to make no interruptions, and I'm going to make sure I do everything. I'm going to come home, I'm going to do my chores. And that the child sense is like, if I do everything right, my family environment will change, when in reality it's not going to change. It's just how at that time in your life that you are caught up in a situation that you can't get out of just yet because you're a child. So as we're kids and we grow up and we become adults and we start looking around, and, you know, we already feel bad about ourselves. We already have low self-esteem and low self-esteem about ourselves. We have very low, we have no friends or nobody to hang out with. We don't have, you know, because we feel like we're not enough. You know, I wasn't good enough to have a perfect family. I wasn't good enough to get my mom and dad off drugs. I wasn't good enough because my mom had to work so much to raise me. She had to do it by herself. I wasn't, you know, I'm not good enough. And we put this I'm not good enough thought into our mind, and it takes over, and it continues to take over. And a lot of times it takes over into your adulthood. And you don't really think about how it got into your mind. You don't really think about how it got into your mind, but it's there. But sometimes when you sit down and you think about it, most times it stems from when you were a child. And a lot of times now, you know, we look at these celebrities on TV, or we see our neighbor across the street with this skinny body, and we are looking at our, you know, we may be overweight, and we're looking at them like, okay, I'm just not good enough to start this business because I'm not that small yet, or I'm just not good enough to go buy a house yet because I don't have that perfect job. You know, I'm not good enough to go to a movie because I'm going to sit and eat snacks and my friend don't eat sweets or eat popcorn or anything like that. I'm not good enough to go to college because nobody in my family ever went to college or graduated from college. I'm not good enough to raise my kid without the support of food stamps or government assistance because my family, that's what my family did. We were raised that way. You know, that's how we got, you know, you feel like that's how you got around. And that's why you start stemming. I'm not good enough. And my point is, when you say that to yourself so many times, you really start thinking that it's true. It's really true. And I'm here to tell you that it's not true. You have your imperfections within your perfection, as Lisa Nichols would say. And you have to work on yourself to get where you want to be. You know, it was just, I know when I was in college, and I pretty much, I think it was like my sophomore year in college or something, somewhere around there. And I had this teacher, and I felt really low after this. I had this teacher who told me that I'm not going to ever graduate from college because my reading skills was of a third grader. My writing skills was of a third grader, and that I should not pursue college anymore because I would not be able to write term papers and midterm papers on a college level. Now, telling somebody that at a young age, you really start thinking like, okay, I'm not good enough to go to college. If I have to write 20-page papers, how am I going to do that if this professor just told me my writing skills is not college-level writing? You know, so, you know, I remember that so well because I went home and I told my mom about the story, and, you know, she actually remembers the story too if I bring it up. And so I was so upset about it. And she was like, you know what? What that professor said about you is not true. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to graduate from college, you're going to graduate from college. You don't have to hurry up and graduate from college. If you want to go to learn, you know, if you want to do some writing classes, set up writing classes. Do what you need to do for you. You know, she gave me advice never to listen to what people tell you. But it just stuck with me, and honestly, it stuck with me for years. And I always, when it came to me writing, sometimes to this day too, when it came to me writing anything, I would have to sit and like read over because in my mind, I still had that teacher telling me that I wasn't good enough for college because I couldn't write well, you know. So because I couldn't write well, now when I think of when I have to write something, that's why I got to the point to where I hated writing. Like literally, I didn't want to write absolutely nothing down. I didn't even want to sign my name on a check to cash because I didn't want to have nobody say, oh, what does that say? You know, it's my name. Or what do it say? You know, so I never really wanted to do anything that had to do with writing. But over the years, I continued on to college, and I came across another lady. Her name was Deborah. Her first name was Deborah. And she, you know, she was like, I did a paper for her. She was like, you know what? I'm going to need you to work on your writing skills. And she did it so nice and gracefully. She said, I'm going to need you to work on your writing skills. I'm going to need you to, when you write a paper, I'm going to need you to type it up and read through it. She said, you know, I'm give you some ways to do it. If you type it in a 12 font, when you read it over, I want you to put it into a 22 font So which means make the letters bigger. So that way you can see every word that you're reading, because you may be reading the word, reading what you had, but that word is actually not in there. You're reading it because you know what it's supposed to say. So I took her advice, and every paper that I end up writing, I would write it in a 12 font, but when I had to reread it, I would write it, and I would change the font to 22 so I can see the letters and see everything bigger. That was the best thing that anybody could have gave me in advice in college. And she worked with me. She set me up, like, you know, the other teacher told me, no, you're just not going to graduate. She set me up in reading classes. I mean, she set me up in reading classes and writing classes. Reading wasn't bad, but and writing classes, because she figured those two go together. And I stayed after school in college, and she set me up with these programs. So that's how I continued college and graduated from my two-year degree at that time. And like I said, I felt like I wasn't worth going to college. I felt like okay, now I'm going to waste my time. I'm probably going to get an F in this class because she's already told me I'm not going to do anything. Well, because of that, when I started looking for work, all of that just came back, because I went into the field of like social work or counselor, where you have to document everything on paper. Why would I go through a field like that? I don't know, but I just wanted to help people because I wanted people to to feel better about themselves. I wanted people to feel good about themselves. I wanted people to feel like they are worthy and they can create their own life, and that they can create whatever lifestyle that they want to create. They are the ones that have to change it. They can't just say, okay, I want to do it and not change it. So I've always was that person and that mentor, kind of like, okay, let's change your mindset of, you know, feeling like you can't do something, or feeling like, you know, you're not good enough to do that, and figure out what ways can we help you. And I will always say, you know, tell people that, you know, some of the ways that you want to help yourself when you have that emotion or have that thought go through your mind, because it's a negative thought. It's really, really negative to think about yourself that you're not good enough, okay? So when you have those thoughts, I would say get out a piece of paper. And on one side of the paper, on your left side, I will put all the thoughts that come into your mind. So if your thoughts are just negative, I'm not good enough because I'm too fat. I'm not good enough because my hair is too short. I'm not good enough because my hair wasn't done for a certain day. I'm not good enough because I drink too much alcohol. I'm not good enough because I'm a drug addict. I'm not good enough because I'm a rape survivor. I'm not good enough because I was in an abusive situation. So we're going to take those words, and we are going to, on the other side, and put, I am good because I chose to change my life this way. And you would just jot down, I chose to change my life, chose not to use drugs. I chose not to use alcohol, use alcohol or to cover up. I'm living my life the way I want to, in the terms that I want to live it, not what somebody perceived me and think I should live it their way. So you would say, jot down some things that you feel like you need to work on. And then on the other side, just carry all the positive and the results that you want. Because at the end, it's the result of the problem that you want to correct. You don't want to keep the problem and then think about it, then you write something else negative about it. You want to keep come out with a good end result. And that's the name of the game. You know, in anything that you do, it's actually the result, the outcome that you want for your life. And I tell a lot of people that when they choose to make a decision for themselves, they will make the best decision for them, not for somebody that's looking at you, not for your mother, not for your father, not for your sister, your best friend, but it would be the decision that you made for yourself, for you to live the way you want to live. And as we, you know, as we get into our adult life and we get older and we start feeling like, okay, now I haven't accomplished, let's say, opening up a business, because I've always had that fear, or I always felt that I wasn't good enough to open that business, or I always wasn't had that fear or wasn't good enough that I didn't go to school. Write that down. Make that your result. Because what you don't want to do is get to age 99 and have all these regretful situations on things that you did, that you wanted to do, but you just felt like you was not good enough to do it. So you don't want to be in that rocking chair at the house or at the nursing home or wherever you're going to be at. I say 99 because I just think everybody should make it to at least 100. I just love that number, 100. So I just think everybody should live to at least 100 and then beyond. But, you know, you want to not have those regrets. If you wanted to go and bike ride across a desert, but you felt at that time you was overweight and you probably couldn't make it across the desert, well, think of ways of how you can still do that goal. Do that bike ride across the desert and do what you need to do. You take the steps that you need to do for that bike ride, or take the steps. I know I have friends that's scared to drive. Well, they're scared to drive because their parents, their mom was scared to drive. It wasn't because they were in a car accident or anything like that. It wasn't because they seen car accidents or anything like that. It was because their mom was scared to drive, and they grew up, dad always driving, and they grew up, oh, mom's scared to drive, so I'm scared to drive. And so you can't have those type of fears and outcomes for your life. I know I have a cousin that's scared of cats, ridiculously scared of cats. Now all of her girls are scared of cats. You see how that? See how it just keeps going? And that's the same thing with drug abuse and abuse of families, domestic violence, and everything. It's just a pattern that keeps going, and you have to make sure you break that pattern. Because I want everybody to feel like they feel know their self-worth. You know, because we are beautiful people on this earth, beautiful people. It's, you know, we see so much destruction in the world. We really do see so much destruction. But I am a true believer that people are happy and there is more positivity in the world than negativity in the world. And the only reason we see the negative is because that's what they show on TV and they talk about it on the radio and they, you know, you see it on in the newspaper. But they don't show enough of people actually doing good work in the community or around the world. I just have that belief. Like if I go over to across seas someplace that I'm going to have a really good time and not have the stigma of something that may happen to me when I get over there because that's what people say that's what's going to happen when you go over there. I just don't have that belief that, you know, I should be afraid to go traveling just because I was scared or I felt some countries, you know, I just feel like, okay, maybe I shouldn't belong over there. But in reality, it's just what I'm seeing on TV or I'm seeing or hearing, and that's really a false fictitious of what really is going on in the world. We are beautiful people, like I said. We love each other. We you know, even if we're not even close, you know, if we're across the world, we love each other. We do. You know, I come across, you know, I live in the New York area, and I come across a lot of diversity in this area. And I'm probably maybe one of many people who just speaks to everybody. I don't care who you are. I'm not walking up to you, but you walking past me or you near me, I'm going to say good morning, good afternoon, how's your day? But it took me a long time to do that because a long time I felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough to just speak to people, just to speak to them. And I didn't understand why I should speak to them. I just pretty much, you know, I just, you know, because my mom is this bubbly person. She speaks to everybody. She won't even steal a pen. So that's her. But I'm the type, like, it took me a long time to be like this person that I just speak to everybody. Or I just, you know, because I said, like, for a long time, I've always had that self-doubt. I always had that I'm not good enough because of the situation in college. Like, if it involves, like I said, if it involves anything to do with writing, it's pretty much like, I don't want to do that. You know, and it's funny because I'm an author of two books, Employee to Entrepreneurship, and what he and she said, you know, that which is, you know, fascinating to me because I've always wanted to write a book or be in a book, but I was like, my writing skills is like terrible, so why am I still thinking about this at the age? At that time, I was like 25, 30. I'm like, how can I write a book if I can't write? So now that I'm, you know, a little older, I have two books. And like I said, one is called Employee to Entrepreneurship, and the other one is Him and Her and What They Said. And the one is a relationship book and one is a business book. Two different areas on the spectrum. They do have nothing to relate with either one. So those are some things I want us to not feel like we can't do, because when we feel that way, we just tend to not do enough in the world. We tend to just, you know, say, okay, forget it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's, you know, it's too hard, or it's to the point where, you know, if my friends or my family say anything, I'm going to just like, okay, they said that. They said I can't do that. So I'm not, that means I'm not good enough to do that. So I want us to just, you know, we have a few more minutes here on the line. I want us to just write things down on what you think you feel like you're not good enough, and change that into a positive and something that you are, and make sure you put, I am good enough too. That's what you put. I am good enough to blank, blank, blank. I am good enough to learn how to drive. I am good enough to go to college. I am good enough to go to the gym and not feel like everyone's staring at me. I am good enough to love myself. Now, that's a big one. You can't, in order to get to this point, you have to love yourself. Nobody can love you like you can love yourself. So you have to get to a point where you love yourself and make yourself feel good enough. If you feel like you need to, you know, reach out to someone that you feel comfortable talking to, reach out to that person. Just don't keep it in. Just don't keep it in, because once you keep it in and it's all bottled up, at some point, like I said, you're going to get older and we're going to have all of these regrets and all of this, I should have, could have, and would have attitude. It should have, could have, and would have. They cousins. They work together. Should have, I call them twin cousins, because I mean triplets. They related. Should have, would have, and could have are related. They are family members that would destroy your mind. Should have, I should have did that. I could have did that. What if I would have did that? You know, so should have, would have, and could have. They family members. Get them out your vocabulary. Get them completely out your vocabulary, and do what you are designed to do, and that's one, to love yourself and love on you hard. I mean, love on yourself so hard that when somebody says something negative about you, you can say, I don't accept that. I don't agree with that. I am who I am, and I love myself the way I am. And if you don't approve of it, I don't have the problem. That's you that has the problem. But for me, I'm good, because I love who I am. I love who I have become, and I love where I am going. So, you know, that was the message I wanted to give tonight. I wanted to make sure that people understand that they are good enough to do anything they set their mind to. They are good enough to be the person they want to be. They are good enough to, you know, some people feel like they don't go to church because they don't have nothing to wear. Go to church. You're good enough to be at church at any given time. Don't have that mind frame that, okay, I don't have a dress to go to church, so I'm not going. Get something and just go. It don't matter what you got on. Just go to church. If you want that job interview, you feel like you're not good enough for that job that you want to go to, that you want to have, and the listing is on your job website, post for it. Post for the job. You're good enough to have that job. You're good enough to have that interview. You're good enough to sit down with that person that's interviewing you and possibly taking their job. So you have to remember at all times that you are good enough to succeed in whatever you put your mind to. Again, this is Vanita DeRees, and I am I didn't say that earlier, but create your own. That's why my show is called Create Your Own, because I want you to become the person that you are designed to be. I will be back on here in another 2 weeks in April. It's April. It'll be April already by the time I come back talk to you guys. So you can find me up on Facebook under Vanita DeRees, VenitaDurice, and I will be talking to you guys in about 2 weeks. Have a fabulous morning, afternoon, and good night. Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, and welcome to The Living Room. Thanks so much for tuning back in to join us. I am your host, Julia Davis, and we are really excited to have you tune in with us today. If you're joining us for the very first time, meaning you've never tuned into a show before, let me tell you, you are in for a treat this evening. The Living Room is really a show where we talk about real issues. We provide information that is both edifying and empowering. And our goal is really to give you some practical things that you can take away from this conversation that will really help you to understand better and empower you really to do some things with your life in a different way, really open up your understanding. We really believe that transformation comes when our minds are renewed. And so that's what The Living Room is all about. In fact, our tagline is The Living Room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. So you are in for a treat. As I said earlier, many of us as believers have heard about the healing power of Jesus. And I think if you were to stop a Christian on the street today and ask them what do they know about healing, they would likely say that they believe that Jesus died on the cross so that we might be healed. But beyond that, unfortunately, there's not a lot of information that people know and apply on a regular basis when it comes to healing. I think they leave that up to the pastors and the preachers and the people that they believe have a particular responsibility or a calling in that area. But one of the things that we want to get done right off the bat tonight is to let you know that healing is not just exclusively for those who are called into ministry. Healing is something that every believer should expect to not only receive, but also to be able to pray for someone else's healing. And so this topic tonight is about the power of healing, the power of prayer, the power of praying prayers for people to receive their healing. And our guest tonight is someone who has quite a bit of knowledge and experience in this area. It is someone who is a dear friend and co-laborer in the ministry, Carla Smith, who has been trained in this area of healing through the International Healing Rooms of America. She's also received training through the Cancer Center Treatment of America, as well as the Global Awakening Christian Healing Certification Program, along with just hands-on experience in the area of healing. And so let me first stop and welcome you, Carla, to The Living Room.
Thank you, Pastor Julia. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, let's get right to it. My first question for you today is, how did you become interested in this specific area of ministry related to healing?
Well, I had a life-changing experience in 2008. I was diagnosed with stage 3 C colon cancer. And during that time, I was filled with a lot of unforgiveness with my biological father, and that I had dealt with for over 30 years of my life.
Wow.
And so during that process of 3 years, I went through a year of chemotherapy treatment. I went through 3 surgeries. I had a partial colectomy. But more so than that, my relationship with my father, my biological father, we had a reconciliation that took place. And all that unforgiveness that I had with him was causing, you know, some root causes to manifest in my body. And it arise through colon cancer. And so during that process, we reconciled, and I forgave, you know, him for the things that happened in my childhood, you know, with just, I guess you can say, emotional abuse and things like that. So, but more so than that, I received adoption by my spiritual father, which is Jesus.
Wow. So there's so much that we want to unpack, but I want to begin to talk about how that experience then allowed you to see the power of God and the power of forgiveness as it relates to receiving your healing. And we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But talk to us about how your journey began. Once you received the healing, you reconciled with your father, you accepted Christ, then what?
Well, during that process, I just God gave me such a compassion for others who were hurting. And so I started volunteering with my local community with hospice, and I volunteered for about 3 years, not knowing that what I had gone through, God was going to allow me to help others who were at the end of their life, whether it was, you know, cancer or diabetes or heart condition. And so I started my journey there, and 10 years later, I'm now doing spiritual care with hospice, with the organization and the DMD. And so I know it's my calling. I know it's what God called me to do. But more so than that, it's the compassion that I have for others.
Wow. So you started to see really kind of God's fingerprints, if you will, in terms of his ability to guide you and direct you. And as you began to respond to the different opportunities that he presented before you, what were some of the things that you started to see as it relates to just people in general, as it relates to and their level of faith when it comes to healing?
Well, a lot of times when we are going through in our physical body, it's really being manifested from something that's what we know to be a deep-rooted cause, which can be unforgiveness or bitterness or just things that we have held on to. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're holding on to it. And so I believe that's when you stay in the Word of God and keep your relationship right, in the right relationship with God as well. And continue to stay in the Word. Prayer, meditation, and fasting is also a representation of who God is and what he requires of us to stay in right relationship with him. But I've seen a lot of that in hospice. And some of the times that I've had with patients and loved ones, unforgiveness is the main one. It's the main thing that a lot of people deal with. And during that time, you know, they end up, you know, forgiving their loved one or the loved one forgiving themselves of something they are holding themselves hostage for. So you're sharing with us from the pages of your own life, but also from your experience working in the area of hospice, that people who harbor or hold on to unforgiveness, that that is a number one deterrent or barrier or obstacle to their receiving the healing power of Jesus. Now, one of the things that I want to say at the outset, and I know many of you listening out there know this, but it's important that we establish that Jesus died on the cross so that we might be able to access eternal life, but also that we might be able to live the abundant life here on earth, which includes healing. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, he tells us that the wounds that Jesus bore on the cross, the stripes that he bore on the cross, were done specifically for our transgressions. And as a result of that, with those stripes, we are healed. In other words, there was a appropriation made for our healing on the cross. And so one of the key things about dealing with this topic of healing is, first of all, your belief and faith in the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ as it relates to our healing. Do you believe that whatever ailment, be it physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever ailment you might be dealing with, do you believe that it was dealt with on the cross? That is a foundational thing that is important for everybody to know and really have faith in before we can proceed any further to talk about some of the other things related to your receiving healing. Now, Carla also mentioned unforgiveness, so I want to go back to that. What about unforgiveness presents a barrier or obstacle to healing?
Well, unforgiveness can pretty much keep you in bondage. And a lot of times what we've come to know and see is that even in situations where you haven't forgiven someone for something that may have happened in your childhood or years ago, and that person may be gone on to glory, and you're still holding on to that unforgiveness, and really you're holding yourself hostage for something that may have happened. So unforgiveness is really one of the main things that really holds people hostage when it comes to being a blockage in healing.
Well, and here's the principle behind that, so that I want to make sure we're talking to the person who doesn't have any experience or knowledge about this, also as a refresher to somebody who may have been very well versed in this area. The problem with unforgiveness is that you are asking God to forgive you of the sins that you have committed, of the error, of the wrongdoing that we do every day, the things that we know we need him to forgive us for. Yet we want to hold someone else, we want to withhold, I should say, forgiveness for something that someone else has done. So when we think about forgiveness, it goes both ways. It's not only something that you need from God, but it's something that you need to be freely able to give to others as they sin against you. So when you think about the Lord's Prayer, even in that model prayer tells us, you know, to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And so, you know, there are many accounts in Scripture that talk about forgiveness. But one of the ways that I like to talk about it is to say to you that a closed fist is to me the ideal example of unforgiveness. Why? Because nothing can get in and nothing can get out. And so, therefore, if you are holding someone in a state of unforgiveness, then not only could you not receive forgiveness, but then because your fist is closed, you're not releasing forgiveness to that person. So as you can see, that can harbor a root of bitterness, and it can lead to a barrier and a hindrance to your receiving the healing that Jesus has already appropriated. He's already died for on the cross. So look at how he requires us. Here it is, how he requires us to be in relationship with him vertically as much as we are in relationship
with mankind horizontally, which makes up the image of the cross. So when you think about the cross, it is both vertical and horizontal. So we must be willing to forgive others, those that are that we have dealings with or have had dealings with in our lives, as much as we need him to forgive us of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis.
Amen.
So let's now talk about how it is that a person can begin to pray for healing, be it for themselves, because I want people to leave the show with an understanding in a very practical way of what things they can begin to do to pray for themselves. Once they believe that Jesus died for their sins and appropriated the stripes and the bruises on the cross to make provision for their healing, what now should they begin to do as it relates to the healing for themselves or for someone that they love or care for?
Well, I believe that the power of God is a tangible. He's tangible. His presence is tangible, and his healing is tangible, and it's available to anyone who has a desire to be healed. And so in relation to someone who really wants to have a desire to be healed, I think that what I have seen and what I've experienced is that you have to have a desire to want to be healed and acknowledge to God those areas through prayer, through fasting and meditation. But I also think that we must continue to strive to have a clean heart. And so a lot of the times when we have prayed for those who are in need of a healing, a lot of times they have matters of the heart. And so those are some areas that I have known personally and have dealt with as well that has been a stronghold or a struggle, you know, when I needed to receive healing years ago when I dealt with colon cancer.
Okay, so I can begin to pray for myself by, first of all, getting some healing scriptures from the Bible. We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how do I begin to apply that word to my life daily? I know that one of the other huge topics, which we don't even have time to cover in this show, is the whole idea of life and death being in the power of the tongue. My God. And how we can begin to recognize that there is a direct correlation, the Bible says, about what we say out of our mouths and what we really believe and then what is actually manifesting in our lives. And so part of why it's important to get some scriptures related to healing is because that is what you are standing on. That is what you are believing. There is power in the word of God. So as you begin to confess those scriptures over your life or over the life of that loved one or whomever you are praying for, daily, what you are doing is you are building up your faith, number one. Number two, you are affirming what you know to be the truth about that situation. And as you continue to do that, it really has the ability to empower you to believe. And so this is why you can go in your concordance. We have so many wonderful resources now by way of Bible apps and things that we can Google online. I mean, there are so many ways to research a scripture, but what you should do is get some healing scriptures and begin to print them out and put them in a place where you can visibly see them every day and start to confess the word of God over your situation or the situation that you are praying for. It focuses your prayers as you pray the word of God back to him. So that's another very, very practical way to apply the word. Let me say this. If you are just tuning in, you are tuning into a very exciting edition of The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliette Davis. I have with me today my friend and my co-laborer in the ministry, Carla Smith, and we are talking about healing. And so we just started talking about practical things that you can do to begin to pray for yourself or someone that is dealing with healing. So let me ask another question. What else could you recommend, Carla, that someone do that desires to walk down this road of setting themselves in agreement with someone who needs healing?
Some of the things that tools that we have used with those who are desiring a healing it's a book that's called 39 Stripes, We Were Healed by Jesus. And it's a small confessional book. I mean, you can basically fit it in your purse or in your bag that you carry during the day. But it's a list of 39 stripes that Jesus took, and it gives a confession of each day that you would just go through and confess the word of God and confess healing as you're going through whatever you're going through. That's a good recommendation. There's also another book that's called The Forgiveness Project, and it's okay. by Michael S. Berry, Starting the Rediscovery of How to Overcome something personally I had to deal with, but cancer through health and achieving peace, and it's called The Forgiveness Project by Michael S.
Okay.
Berry.
Okay, and by the way, listeners, we are going to put this information on our social media pages, and we'll tell you where to find us on those various platforms, because what we want you to do is to begin to research and get these tools in your library and begin to find ways to empower yourself in this area of healing. Now, let me ask another question. How is it that someone can have, maybe they don't have a physical manifestation of anything that they need healing for, but they struggle with depression or they struggle with anxiety. How does the power of God to heal apply to those types of ailments? Because I want to make it clear that, you know, to the person who's saying, well, I'm not sick, but, you know, I have these types of issues. What would you say to them related to what the power of God can do for them?
Well, that's on the subject of prayers to renew the mind. And so
okay,
what I've come to know is that we renew our minds daily through the Word of God, through our devotions, through our meditations that we have with the Word of God, and our relationship that we also have with God. And so confessions, daily confessions, and just staying in a rightful relationship with God, I believe, has allowed those individuals that I've come across to renew their minds daily, especially when you're dealing with depression and things of that nature, deep-rooted issues like schizophrenia and paranoia. A lot of times those issues are deep-rooted issues where people have been tormented at night, can't sleep with insomnia. And so a lot of times it's stemming from something that has happened in their childhood. And so that's when you kind of get into inner healing and sozo and things like that. But really just staying in the Word of God and renewing your mind daily.
So one of the things, too, that we want people to know is that through your relationship with Christ, and we who have made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life, you have access through prayer to be able to really talk to God about the things that are going on in your life. There is no area in your life that is off limits to Him, no area in your life that He's not concerned about, that He doesn't want to love you through. And so with knowing that and knowing that about Him, you can begin to talk to Him about, you know, the times when you feel that you are overwhelmed or you feel like you're at a point of, you know, having anxiety attacks, or the point where you feel as though, you know, you're beginning to lack motivation and you sense that, you know, there's this heaviness that is on you. I would strongly recommend prayer. Prayer is our gateway, our connection to God. But let me also say, and Carla, you can chime in on this, is to seek out additional help. Sometimes we can't handle the things that are going on in our lives on our own. So what advice would you have for someone who says, okay, I realize now that this is a reoccurring issue and I don't want to live like this anymore. I need help. How do I begin to seek out help so that I might be able to get free or delivered from these types of areas of bondage?
Well, what I've come to know is that when you get to that point where you've prayed and prayed and you feel like you have not gotten any kind of relief or relief from what you're dealing with, there is Christian therapists that, you know, we can provide the information to through, you know, after the call for anyone who would need any help in that area. But there are Christian therapists that are out there who can actually, you know, help a person get through those moments in their lives where they feel like prayer just hasn't been enough. But there's a scripture, it's Romans 12:2, and it tells us to do not be conformed by the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And there's also another tool that we've used in the prayer room. It's called the Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. It's by Bill Johnson. And it just gives practical areas of where we can pray when it comes to the root causes of what's causing the person to continue to have depression and schizophrenia and things of that nature.
Okay. Well, wow. This is a topic that is so vast that there's no way we could possibly cover it in one show. So, Carla, we're going to have you back so we can talk a little bit more about this and really make this information available to our listeners. We are so glad that you tuned in to join us today as we talked about the power of healing and all of the different types of things that factor in when it comes to our ability to really walk in the life of healing that Jesus died for us to have. If you want to reach out to Carla to follow up on today's show, Carla, how can they reach you?
They can reach me through my email. It's CarlaLSmith1@yahoo.com. I am on social media, Facebook, so just putting in my name, Carla Smith, and or I'll provide my telephone number for anyone that would like to leave a message as well.
Wonderful. Well, I am your host again, Julia Davis, and it has been my pleasure to engage you in this conversation in the healing room, I'm sorry, in the living room, which today has been a healing room of sorts. If you need to follow up with me, I would love to hear from you, to hear how today's show has impacted you and to answer any questions that you might have. You can reach me on social media under Juliet Davis, or you can find me on Instagram under True_Journey, as well as on Twitter, same handle, True_Journey. Thanks so much for joining us today in the healing room. It's in the living room. We are so grateful to have you. Please come back and join us again. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the information that we've shared. And listen, remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.